Off the Ball, GAA.
Like, I remember being on the pod with Paddy in year one, and he was just going, it was great for them to be in Dublin, they could go and they could meet and nobody bothering them, and just having them conversations over lunch. Or
join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
We're going to talk the Women's Six Nations, which gets underway this weekend. France versus Italy tomorrow at 12:25 p.m. Irish time, that is. England against Ireland, the big one for us, at Twickenham from 2:25 p.m. tomorrow afternoon. And that is followed at 20:05 in the evening, or afternoon, depending on what you call that. Wales, Scotland. 20:05 the afternoon or the evening, lads?
22:05
is the early evening, isn't it?
Ooh. No, not in the summer.
It's the afternoon then.
Afternoon.
Jesus.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. Four weeks ago was... It was evening.
It was nighttime 4 weeks ago. So Wales, Scotland at 20:05 tomorrow. I'm delighted to welcome to the show, Hannah O'Connor is on the line with us. Morning, Hannah.
Morning, guys. How are we?
Keeping well. And Susanna on the line from London as well. Morning, Susanna.
Hello. It's early. Good morning.
It is early. It is definitely early. What's the vibe around London at the moment, Susanna? Are you picking up? Like, I know there's 75,000 tickets sold, but I suppose in a city the size of London, it's hard to feel the vibe of a sporting event before the day.
Yeah, no, and I won't lie to you. I flew in last night and went straight from Heathrow Airport to my hotel in Bradford. So I haven't actually made it to Twickenham yet, but I'm sure I'm going to be there around 11 for the England captain's run, and then Ireland will be out a bit later around 1. So I think once we get there, the excitement will start to build.
Scott Beamon in good form, the team in good form this week?
Yeah, everyone is very positive. I think there's as always, there's an element of realism when you're going into a game against the current world champions. And they know that, like Scott Beamon was saying, this isn't the game that we have to go in out and win. This is a great opportunity to kind of test where we are 7 months out from after the World Cup. I think everyone knows that realistically, this is going to be a really, really tough game to win. But on the flip side, they are really optimistic. They've got incredible players coming back in. I mean, that back row with Erin King, Aoife Wafer for Brittany Hogan, and then Irish, obviously Dorothy Wall coming into the second row, is absolutely world-class. And I think everyone's just excited to see a really, really strong Irish team back out on the pitch, and they're really just excited to get going.
Hannah, when you look at the bare stats, England having won, looking to win in 8 Six Nations in a row, England and France have been 1-2 in each of the last 6 seasons, and it's 11 years since Ireland last beat England at this level. And yet, as Susanna points out, there is that little bit of optimism heading into this championship that maybe Ireland can not just beat the teams at home that they're expected to beat, but maybe nick something against an England or a France, or even just stay in the game for 80 minutes.
Yeah, I think that's the big thing for the girls this year, that I think the draw of the fixtures really favours us. I think in the past we've had it where we probably have had England looming at the end of the Six Nations after a difficult campaign when bodies are tired and sore, and you know that fixture is looming, whether it be home or away, and you're always up against it. But I think having them first out the blocks gives you that element of surprise to try things that perhaps aren't able to be seen, you know, on footage. It's always the thing. You don't really know what you're going to get when you're playing the first round of the Six Nations. So from that element, it bodes well. I think also it gets it out of the way in terms of the big fixture that kind of everybody talks about, as where Ireland in relation to England, it gets it, you know, straight out the blocks. You've got it in the under your belt and underway. And yeah, it does. It always gives you that element of being able to test yourself to see where you are against the world's best ultimately. And over the last number of years, yes, while the gap has still been there, it has been closing in certain areas. So I think a successful performance for the girls will be deemed of, you know, getting close to that 80-minute performance, being able to stay in that fight for as long as possible with it, because as I said, we've been closing that element over the last number of years. So I think that would be deemed a success if the girls can have that performance for as close to 80 minutes as possible.
Hannah, speaking to some of the players during the week at the press events, there seems to be a real belief that they can go at England and potentially get a win here. I suppose you'll know yourself, having been in some of those camps, that you always have a belief that you go into any game and win it. But this year just comes across a little bit different.
Yeah, I think the experience of the World Cup is going to stand to the girls massively, that, you know, that big occasion, those big crowds, big matches. Like, I think compared to 2 years ago, I think when it was about 50,000 odd in Twickenham, I think the 75,000 people that are going to be there is class, but it's not going to be too overwhelming for the girls off the back of what most of them have experienced at the World Cup. There is always that realism of, yes, you know what you're up against, but like in competitive sport, you're not going into any match without thinking you can get something out of it. So the girls are definitely prepared. I'm sure they'll have a few tricks up their sleeve to throw at England to give different pictures. You know, this is in England. Yes, they are the world champions, but they're very much in transition too, with some fresh faces into their squad as well. So there's that element of seeing how quickly they can bed in together after, you know, are they going to suffer a bit of a hangover after, you know, winning the World Cup? Probably not, but you're always able to try and do something a little bit different first game out the block. So Ireland will be certainly hoping to be able to catch them with the element of surprise when that comes to bed.
Susanna, a couple of names jumping off the Irish team sheet that was announced yesterday. One being Vicky Elms-Killen in for Anna McGann. Thoughts on that? I know you were speaking to Scott Beaman about it yesterday.
Yeah, I was surprised by that personally. I presumed with Amy Lee Costigan out, it would have been Anna McGann and Baveen on the wings. But Scott said, you know, Vicky was very, very close in the World Cup to being in that World Cup squad and would have been really disappointed not to be there. And then off the back of that has just put in some tremendous work, both in and around kind of the Irish team, but then also in the Celtic Challenge. And we saw that in the Celtic Challenge final. I think she scored 2 tries and she racked up a number of tries across the competition. And also with Wicklow, she was a star in the AIL. So I think they've just been watching her and she's been putting in that work. And he said, she's just a completely different player now to what she was kind of in advance of that World Cup, and is fully deserved to start there. With that being said, he's also very excited to bring Anna McGann on later in the game. He sees that as kind of like an impact player that he can bring on at 40, 50, 60 minutes and have her really impact the game as well. So I think he's just thought about how to use 2 really strong players and how he can get the best out of both wingers. But I also think Vicky, she offers speed in a way that I know Anna is extremely quick, but missing Amy Lee, maybe Vicky is a more natural replacement.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think Anna plays a bit of 13 as well. So that bit of versatility coming off the bench certainly proves to that. It's quite an experienced forwards pack as well in terms of having played against England week in, week out, or English players week in, week out. So many of those players are playing their rugby, their club rugby over in the Premiership. That must, that means a lot, doesn't it, Hannah, in a game like this?
Yeah, it does. It's like there's no fear of that unknown with the girls. Obviously, you're looking at it like you've got, you know, Elle Perry, Cliona Maloney-McDonald, Doro, Brittany, and Aoife Wafer now, of course. They're all playing week in and week out against these players. They'll be incredibly familiar with them. Some of them are teammates to them, as well as meeting them, as you said, in and out each week. So, like, yeah, it's an incredibly strong pack. I think having the likes of Erin and the likes of Dorothy back, it gives us that ability to have, you know, more ball carriers, I think, at our disposal. Obviously, unfortunate to miss Sam Monaghan. I think she misses out through a bit of a niggle. But, you know, bar putting her back in there, that's as probably as strong as a pack as we can and launch with. So it's really exciting. And I think, you know, at set piece time, it'll be really interesting to see how we match up against them. But you're certainly going to be meeting fire with that kind of back tight five for Ireland, that's for sure.
Can we talk for a minute about the fact that a married couple are going to play against each other? Like, this is unbelievable stuff. Claudia and Cliona Maloney-McDonald at wing and hooker respectively, and I was reading a lovely statement from Exeter. Of course, we've both played for same teams, Wasps and Exeter Chiefs. And Claudia was saying, strange concept playing against your wife in an international rugby game. The times we've trained against each other can often get heated. That's what happens when you're both fiercely competitive and know each other so well. But to be honest, we're both professionals. We love what we do. We both want to win. And we'll both do whatever we can to make that happen for our own teams. Let's just hope we can remember we're still married once the final whistle goes. Like, this is class, isn't it?
Unprecedented, yeah.
It's unbelievable, Hannah. Can you make it, like, it's such a strange thing. You don't see it happen in sport really ever, particularly at international level, but quite a remarkable thing altogether.
It is. It's probably unheard of in most sports, but in rugby, you'd have quite a lot of crossover between. There's a few other couples that cross over between teams. So definitely between this window of Six Nations, it becomes very much kind of locked down to your within your country's bubble. And then especially when it's weeks like this, when you're due to play each other in tactics and everything, there definitely will be probably a rule that would be like rugby won't be discussed when you have those FaceTime calls in the evening. But yeah, I know. Look, I think it's a case of the girls would be well used to it. 2 very experienced campaigners in both of them. And as a Cliona Maloney-McDonald on track to get her 50th cap, and so well deserved over everything she's given to Irish rugby. So I think it's very much a case of when they cross the whitewash, you're in that green jersey and you're in that white jersey, and everything else, you know, waits until the 80th minute to be rekindled. Probably, that we don't love lost on the pitch, or they won't be giving each other anything easy anyway, that's for sure.
I wonder what's more difficult, playing against each other or playing with your partner? Because I know Katie Whelan, who's set to come off the bench for Ireland, I think she's currently in a relationship with the fly half Dan O'Brien, so that could set to be a halfback partnership. So I wonder what's more difficult, playing against your partner or playing with your partner?
Oh, I know, yeah.
Surely playing against them is easy, because then, like, if they've left the fridge open or something like that, you just smash them when they get out of the thing.
Leave something.
You know, never done the ironing. Bam, thanks. Yeah.
But what happens if you're in really good, you know, really good terms with your other half at that particular time, and then you have to batter into them at some point? You're gonna feel bad.
Yeah, but there'll always be something. Somebody hasn't done something, so it's a chance to get a little bit of revenge.
Such a strange one. Definitely going to be keeping an eye on that one across the course of tomorrow as well.
Yes, you mentioned Katie Whelan there, Susanna. Interesting one for her as well. I suppose Aveen Riley's out with injury, but even though it's her first cap, and it's like a familiar situation, because Emily Lane will start and she'll come off the bench. They've been doing that for the Clovers this season as is, so it's kind of like a weirdly familiar first cap for her.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, I'd only ever, obviously it's a first cap, so I'd obviously only watched her play sevens for Ireland, but I haven't been too familiar with her in the 15 setup. I knew she was in and around there for a long time. But it'll be really interesting to see her come on. I just feel like we haven't heard a lot of her yet, but Scott Beamon spoke of her very well, said she's, you know, put in the effort and deserves to be there. She wasn't in the initial Six Nations squad that was announced in March, so it is as replacement to injury for Aveen Riley. But as is always the case in rugby, often people get to put their hand up off the back of an injury, and she'll be looking to do exactly that. So I think it'll be really interesting to see how she goes tomorrow, and hopefully she can put her hand up to earn some more caps in the future.
Hannah, the interesting one for me is, and you touched on playing England first and sort of almost not the benefits but what could be positive, if this game got away from us a little bit, would you fear for the sort of the knock-on effect of that? If England at their very best and you get turned over, then it just drags on, doesn't it? The review is difficult, the next week is difficult.
Not really, in a way. Like, I think previous years has been more difficult because they've had a chance to really ramp up, and we played them off in second last, and they're getting ready for Le Crunch against France. So they're really fine-tuned by the time they come to you. Whereas this week, you know, it's first week out the blocks. You're going to have that bit of rustiness from both sides of actually getting to play test rugby with each other with the right combinations. You know, there's one thing doing it in training, but when you get onto the pitch to play it at match level, you know, the first one always has those little kinks that you need to iron out. So I don't think there's a fear of that. The girls aren't going to get into their heads. It's the first game of a long campaign, so it's very much go out there, put your best foot forward and put in a performance that we can be proud of, and that the travelling fans and people back home can, you know, really get excited for, of what's to come with those three home fixtures that are coming. So I don't think there's any fear of that happening with this group especially, you know.
Go on ahead, Dara, sorry.
Erin King, I suppose we haven't seen her in an Irish jersey for a long time, and she has the kind of added responsibility as captain now, one of the youngest players in the squad. Hannah, your reaction to her getting the captaincy, it's a while ago now, we've known that she's was due to be the captain for this tournament, but such a young player, but she seems to have really matured through her injury struggles. Your thoughts at the time and now, one day out from the game?
Yeah, I think my only surprise when Erin was picked to be captain was that I suppose she was being thrust into it so soon after the injury, that you'd love to have seen her just come back and be able to just play and get herself back to, you know, being able to enjoy her rugby again. But there's no surprise from me in terms of her being picked as to lead this group. I think you take her age out of it, you know, she's an incredible person and one that is well liked and well regarded and highly regarded within the whole group. What she's done to come back from this injury journey and even before it, you know, the girls would have had massive time and respect for her. She would remind me a bit of Keira Griffin, who's gone before, in terms of how she plays and how she leads with pure passion and bleeds green and, you know, leads by example. And, you know, you'll have heard a few of the girls talk during the week that Erin wouldn't ask you to do anything that she wouldn't do herself on the pitch. So she really, really will lead by example. Incredibly passionate player, incredibly talented player. So, yeah, it's great to see her back from injury and for her to get the nod as captain, whereas she'll be the one wearing the captain's armband. It'll be very much a team performance there. And she's got a big cohort of a leadership group around her that would be, she'd be able to lean on. You know, the likes of Sam Monahan is still very much there, and Dorothy Wall, Fiona Chute, you know, Brittany, Aoife Dalton, there's a hell of a lot of experience there right through the team, and that will be able to support her as well. So yeah, she'll go incredibly well, and hopefully can stay injury free and really get back to playing her best.
It's amazing, Hannah, the growth in this Irish team, and Scott Beaman has referenced it this week as well, even from a couple of years ago when they lost 88-10 to England, because 12 of this Irish squad were involved that day, and yet somehow you still feel like they've come on leaps and bounds. You mentioned the World Cup earlier as being pretty key to that, but the attitude shift has been quite remarkable.
Yeah, and that's it. It's you know, they talk about the green wave and being on the crest of a wave and just taking the momentum and everything that's good out of it and the good performances they've had since then. That's, you know, this group, you know, you mentioned them about, you know, the possibility of them getting rattled by a big performance, Vinny, and it's not going to happen with this group. Like, they are a resilient group, and no matter what way the chips fall on Saturday, like, they will bounce back and, you know, they will be able to keep going and dust themselves off. And I think they've shown that over the last number of years. As you said, like, the last time we played in Twickenham, that performance was not one that, you know, you'll want. I was there that day, so it's definitely not one you want to live long in your memory. But things that have come since then, like, it's such a quick turnaround into the next week of the competition. So that's, you know, the plus side of it as well, that you get to go out and put your best forward again the next week. So, yeah, I think that the youth probably of this group and the young average age really helps in terms of just the bounce back and wanting to go again and not letting things linger too long. And they are quite a tight-knit group, so that also helps in getting over things. But yeah, look, they'll be going out very much all guns blazing and seeing how many shots they can fire against this England team.
And we don't want to, Susanna, look past this weekend, but naturally, in terms of that Anglo-French grasp on this Women's Six Nations, maybe that France game in round three is the one that they could really target as being quite a close one. We saw in the World Cup, you know, these two teams maybe aren't that far apart. Whatever about England, whatever happens tomorrow, but the French game in week three is going to be really interesting.
Yeah, 100%. I think the coaching team have been pretty clear in their aims for the Six Nations, which is first and foremost to win all their home games. Mm. They actually haven't won three games in the Six Nations, I think, since 2020, despite coming third last year. It came off the back of bonus points. So that's their aim first and foremost. But then I think players, coaching staff, everyone involved in that team will have a massive red circle around that French game. I think I was chatting to Brittany Hogan last week, and she said, the French know that they've got a vendetta coming towards them. They've got an angry Irish mob basically coming at them, and they will. There's nothing else for it, really. But even without the kind of anger that they'll have on the way that game played out, I think despite that, they know that they can beat this French side, not only because the French were probably on an upwards trajectory for a while and maybe have plateaued a little bit, whereas Ireland have been going kind of straight upwards. So they're evening out a little bit from that point of view. But also, you saw in that quarterfinal, you know, Ireland were leading, but was it, I can't even remember, was it like 13-0 at halftime or something? They were well on top of the game, and they just let it go after kind of 60 minutes played. And that's something we also saw in the English game in the Six Nations last year, where, you know, it was 7-5 on 48 minutes or something, and then England ran away with it. So Ireland know that they have the capability. It's just about getting that 80-minute performance and also banking on the opportunities when they have them. I think we all remember that long, what was it, like 20, 30 phases just before halftime in the World Cup quarterfinal, where Ireland had the ball. They really should have scored. There was ample opportunity out wide and they just couldn't get the ball there. They couldn't dot it over the line. Had they scored that going into halftime, they would have been three tries up. And as Scott Beaman said to me yesterday, you need to be putting three tries on World Cup contenders. Otherwise, they're always going to be able to come back at you. So I think it's kind of a double whammy of they need to be able to finish out their 80-minute performances and they need to be able to pounce on opportunities when they have them early on in the game. But if they can do that, and by all means, it sounds like he's very confident that they've worked on that over the past 7 months and they've looked at those areas of the game that they need to work on, then by all means, I think we're a better team than France. And I think that game will be one that they'll be really, really looking to win.
We can't do an Ireland preview without talking about Aoife Wafer specifically at some point. She's obviously playing a rugby with the Harlequins now. Has come on a lot. She's almost a superstar over there already, scoring tries for fun. Hannah, talk to us a bit about her and how you've seen her grow over the last maybe 3, 4, 5 months.
Yeah, look, she's gone from strength to strength, hasn't she? And look, she's come back from kind of post-World Cup injury to get herself, you know, lots of minutes within the Prem, as you said, with Harlequin. So I think no more than for Aaron. I think it's, you know, I've seen Wafer going around in a bit of a knee brace after picking up a bit of a knock, I think, but is thankfully fit to start. So for her, it'll be a case of, you know, being able to keep herself fit, being able to keep herself injury free, hopefully that she gets a good run of the campaign. So yeah, look, I think she's going to benefit from having the likes of Erin back and the likes of Dorothy back in that squad. You know, it's to share the workload, especially Brittany as well. There's plenty of them there to put their hand up to give Ireland big gain line carries. So that will, I think, give her, free up her to have more space to do what she does best. So it bodes well for everybody. So hopefully, yeah, she can keep her fine form going and keep herself injury free.
England have threats all over the pitch, none bigger than Ellie Kildon. How do you go about nullifying a player like that?
Yeah, and I think Susanna, you probably touched upon it. I'd say that's probably partly the reason for the likes of Vicky Elms-Kinlan being picked. Obviously, she is in good form herself, but that raw kind of out-and-out pace that she provides along with Bavin, the two of them are probably the quickest wingers we have to choose at the moment in terms of out-and-out pace. And that's not saying anybody else is a slouch, but I think that's partly to do with it. I think the likes of shutting Ellie Kildon down, it's what comes in and around her that's also a problem, because if you focus too much on Ellie Kildon, you all of a sudden have holes appearing everywhere else. I think it's the overall picture defensively for Ireland will be huge. I think it's not allowing England to have that free space or having a big edge out wide to allow her to have that space. Obviously, they've got kick threats even within that. So I think the overall picture for Ireland is, you know, having 15 bodies as close to it on feet as possible and being able to shut down kind of those, I suppose, easy ins for England, not to let the likes of Ellie Kildon have acres of space to run back at you, that if we are deciding to play a bit of a kick game, that we're finding grass or that we're, you know, finding it into the first tier of the stand to be able to really nullify her threat in the loose. Because like every player, look, as fantastic as Ellie Kildon is, and we know her strengths and she's shown time and time again that what she's capable of an attack, Ireland would be really hoping that they can really test her, test the likes of Jess Breach and Claudia Maloney-McDonald on the return phase of giving them a bit of food for thought in terms of what Ireland can attack. And I know Susanna touched upon it there. Ireland are going to create chances and they are going to get chances in this game created through themselves and through a bit of the rub of the green, hopefully, as well. But it's what you do with those chances and being able to convert your opportunities into points that is really going to be the part that Ireland will hang their hat on at the end of the 80 minutes.
Fun fact, interesting fact from Cameron Hill. You'll have seen this.
Go too. For it.
Ice hockey players Julie Chu and Carolyn Ouellette, who married, faced each other in three Olympic finals in 2002, 2010 and 2014, captaining the American and Canadian teams respectively. They even wore the same jersey for their respective teams. So it can all work out okay for these two in the end of things after tomorrow. Prediction time, folks. How do we see this going, Hannah? Who and by how much?
I say England will probably do enough to get the bonus point try, but I'd like to think that the development that Ireland have made, that we're capable of, at the very, very least, coming away with a losing bonus point.
Okay, I think we take that. Susanna?
Yeah, I would agree. I think England will still manage to find a way to win this, but I think it'll be a lot closer than any of the games we've seen in the past couple of years. I also think Hannah touched on the hangover earlier on. I don't think it's completely to be ignored. I mean, apparently no women's or men's team who won a World Cup has ever won the previous Six Nations. So if there was ever a time to go at England, it might be now. It might be difficult to reach those emotional heights that they did a couple of months ago. And they're missing key players. So I think we can be optimistic, but I do still think England will come out hopefully narrowly with the win.
Okay. Yeah, hopefully narrowly. Great stuff, folks. Thanks so much for joining us, Hannah and Susanna. Have a good morning.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers.
Off the ball, breakfast.
Ireland's Sports Breakfast Show.